Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. We looked at the first part of this chapter last week, verses 1 through 27, and we saw how God was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar another time. He had already dealt with him before when Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came to Babylon, and their testimony was there before the king. And then the king has another dream, and then he has this second dream we're told about in chapter 4. And we see how God deals with this man about his pride. And obviously, a very proud man. And God has to come and humble him. And remember, last week we learned how through that dream God spoke to him and God warned him. Remember, the dream was of a great tree that he saw, and how all these creatures were taking refuge under this tree. And then he saw the tree cut down, and the stump was preserved there in the ground. And then Nebuchadnezzar is not sure what it means, and Daniel is the only one that's able to tell him what that means. It refers to Nebuchadnezzar and what God would do to humble him if he did not turn and repent. But we notice these warnings that God was giving. And the first warning about pride was, beware of taking credit for prosperity. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. And we'll see that again here as we read. And then we noted how we need to beware of acting independently. And we saw how Nebuchadnezzar, first he goes to his wise men when he wants to figure out what this dream means. And then the last thing is he goes to Daniel. Of course, Daniel's the one who really is in touch with God. And the other people, you know, he should have known already from the first time around that these people were fakes. You know, they were frauds. They could not do what they said they could do. And that's a reminder of what we do sometimes when we fail to go to God's word. We seek what it is that we want to hear instead of what God has to say to us. And then the third warning we learned about last week was, beware of ignoring God's word. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar ultimately did. He did nothing about this message that Daniel had for him here. And so we see what happens in response here. But we're going to pick up reading here in verse 28, Daniel 4:28, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter here, verse 37. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Maybe you heard the story about the big mean lion in the jungle. And the lion was going around to different animals in the jungle. And he went to the monkey and he said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And he acted like he was about to grab that monkey and do something bad to him. And the monkey said, "You're the king of the jungle." And he went on to the zebra. And he growled at the zebra and said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the zebra said, "You're the king of the jungle. Just go away." And then he went to the elephant. And he said to him, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant took his trunk and he wrapped it around the lion. And he swung him and he threw him 50 feet in the air. And the lion landed in the dust. And the lion got up and he dusted himself off. And he said to the elephant, "Just because you know the right answer doesn't mean you have to get so tough about it." You know, sometimes the ones that are proud, it takes a lot for them to be humbled. And we see here in this passage how God gives Nebuchadnezzar a remedy for his pride. And I want you to see this remedy and the different parts here that are given to Nebuchadnezzar. But there in verse 27, Daniel had given Nebuchadnezzar some advice in light of this dream. And he said, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." But we see that Nebuchadnezzar didn't respond to that. There was obviously no change. And so God comes and gives him this remedy for his life, for the pride in his life. The first remedy, I think we see here in verses 28 to 30, about what God did here. Actually, let's see, am I looking at the right verses here? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar comes on the roof here of his palace, and we are told what he said here in verse 30. "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And notice verse 31. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Then we read about what happened. He turned into a cow, or he thought he was a cow at least. At first he was a king, and then all of a sudden he thinks he's a cow, and he starts going, feeling the urge to eat grass, and he doesn't do anything about his hair, and his nails grow long. And where did that come from? It came from God. When I was in high school, our gym class did a unit on wrestling, the sport of wrestling. Our Christian school didn't have the sport of wrestling, but it was decided somehow that in our gym class we were going to do a unit on wrestling, just the boys. And so the two men that taught us the class, I was reminded about this because I saw them at the Ohio Bible Fellowship Conference, Pastor Steve Spence and Mr. Larry Fitch. They were both there, and they were also the biggest men in the church and school there up in Mentor. And anyway, they were teaching us this unit on wrestling, and no one could ever pin them. They were so big, but they taught us some skills about wrestling. And the one of the things I remember was when you are wrestling somebody officially, your goal is ultimately to pin them on the mat. But in order to do that, you have got to learn some special moves. And those special moves are called takedowns at the beginning. And there's a number of different takedowns. You can learn the double and single leg takedown, the duck under takedown, and I think everybody's favorite was the fireman's carry. And that's where you just, you grab them and you just throw them down. Those are takedowns. You got to get your opponent on the mat if you're going to beat him. You can't beat him if he's standing up. And so the first thing to do is to take him down. I want to suggest to you that that's God's first remedy in dealing with Nebuchadnezzar and sometimes dealing with us. It is a takedown. That's what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. He Because he did not deal with his pride, God took him down. He took him down to the mat. And reminds us of what God says in Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God's remedy, first of all, is a takedown. God is very patient in giving that remedy. It's important that we see this, I think. God gave Nebuchadnezzar sufficient warning. We read verse 27, where Daniel warned him. And then verse 29 reminds us that at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. That verse tells us that a full year went by before God took Nebuchadnezzar down. And God was patient with him. God gave him an opportunity to turn from his sin, to respond to that dream that he had been given, but he did not do it. And we see the very strange condition that God used to take Nebuchadnezzar down. God has a variety of methods that he can use, but in this particular case, it was a very strange condition. I don't know what it was exactly. Perhaps it was a mental illness of some sort. Maybe there was some biological cause in it. But whatever it was certainly God's method of taking Nebuchadnezzar down. He sent him this disease where he thought he was a cow. And you know, you all know that if you think you're a cow, it's going to be real hard to be a king. And you know, how can you make the decisions that you need to make if you think you're a cow? You know, it's not going to work too well. And some people have observed that Nebuchadnezzar evidently was a pretty efficient administrator, and perhaps the kingdom ran pretty well, and they kept the king under cover in a secret place, perhaps, and the people that he had appointed in all these various positions ran the country for him. Maybe people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For 7 years, somebody else is running the country while the king is a cow. But God was taking him down. And I want you to see how clear God was about the problem here that Nebuchadnezzar had. Verse 33 tells us, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Same hour as what? The same hour as Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of his palace, boasting about his greatness. That same hour, God sent him down. God took him down. It was very clear that it was because of Nebuchadnezzar's pride. Turn, if you would, please, over to chapter 5, where we will read, Lord willing, about Daniel and the handwriting on the wall, Belshazzar the king. But notice what Daniel says to Belshazzar over in verse 18 of Daniel chapter 5. It says to him, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And then jump down to verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in heaven in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. So God's remedy is, first of all, a takedown. Then I want you to see the second remedy here that God gives, verse 34. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar speaking, giving testimony about what happened to him. Notice verse 34. It says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. It seems to me that the very first phrase here in Nebuchadnezzar's improvement gives us a key to God's remedy. It says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. I think there's something very significant in that phrase. I think we see the second remedy here that God has for dealing with pride is not only a takedown, but God's remedy is a turning to God. a turning to God. There was a point in the midst of his trouble, whatever this disease was, where he turned to God, where he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And there was a phase of improvement there in his condition. It says, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned. There's another man in the Bible that experienced one of God's takedowns. And there's a book in the Bible about it. It was a very wet takedown. Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and he was thrown overboard because he knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And you remember the fish that God prepared that swallowed Jonah. And Jonah tells us about what he did when he was there in the belly of that fish. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I think that there was a time in the life of Jonah when there at his lowest point in the ocean, wherever he was, he had a moment where he turned to God. Just like Nebuchadnezzar had a moment here in the midst of his affliction when he was out there in the pasture, that he turned to God. He lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and his understanding returned unto him. God's remedy is turning to God. And then we see a third remedy here, not only the takedown, but the turning to God. And then we read on here in verse 34 what Nebuchadnezzar says that he did. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Third remedy that God has for us is acknowledging God. Acknowledging God. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing here. It tells us about how he was worshiping God, but even before that, and even along with that, is Nebuchadnezzar recognizing who God is. That was the goal of this whole event, was for Nebuchadnezzar to recognize the things that he's recognizing here about God, verses 34 and 35. He recognizes, first of all, God's eternal kingdom. He says, he blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. He recognized something about himself while he was out there pretending to be a cow. He recognized that his kingdom was not everlasting. His kingdom was coming to an end. But he recognized that God's kingdom never ends. It will never come to an end. And then we see that he recognized God's effective will. Verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Whatever God decides that he's going to do, he will do. Nobody can stop him. Nebuchadnezzar recognizes this. He recognizes also God's independent authority at the end of verse 35. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar recognized that nobody is above God. There's nobody that calls up God and asks him if he's done his job for the week. There's nobody that questions God, say, what are you doing? No one can do that. God is completely above all people. God is completely independent in his authority. Nobody else is above him. We are going to be watched a lot, I'm sure, this week as our president-elect takes his position, and we have the swearing-in of the president on Friday. The whole world is watching our country. I think that we're still one of the most powerful countries in the whole world. And yet, at the same time, before God, we're nothing. Before God, we have no authority over God's will, what God would choose in the world. Nebuchadnezzar here was saying things that God also told to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. Isaiah wrote, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity." As great as our country is, we need to recognize that before the Lord, it's nothing in comparison to his power. Nothing in comparison to what he is able to do. And, you know, there might be some people that are more powerful than us in our when it comes to our country. There might be some people in the world who think they can change the outcome of our election. I don't really know, all right? You know, whether it's Russia or whoever. But there's nobody in the world that can change the outcome of what God has willed to do. None can stay his hand. His will be done. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" No one can question God. And God here is showing himself to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is finally acknowledging God. God's remedy is for us to acknowledge him. And then the fourth and final remedy we see here. First one is that a takedown. God's remedy is a takedown. Then God's remedy is a turning to God, as Nebuchadnezzar did. And then there's the acknowledging God. And then fourthly tonight, we see that the remedy for pride is for us to praise God. God's remedy is praising God. Notice verse 37. Nebuchadnezzar is restored there in verse 36, and then verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." As King Nebuchadnezzar started praising God, he lifted up his eyes, he recognized, acknowledged God, and he praised, blessed, and honored God. Then God restored him to his position. God raised him up again when he started to do that. And then notice that he doesn't keep it to himself here. Remember, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 4, look there at verse 1 again of chapter 4. Remember who's writing this chapter. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." And then he proceeds to tell the story about how God humbled him. What is Nebuchadnezzar doing? He's praising God personally. See, all the things that God has showed to him, but he goes beyond that. He's giving a testimony. He's saying, this is what I've learned about God, and I want all you people on the earth to know that. Was Nebuchadnezzar truly saved? You know, I don't know for sure, but it seems to come pretty close. He gives a testimony here of all that he has learned about God. God's remedy is for us to praise God. And maybe that means for us to come here on a Sunday night and say, "I have a testimony. Let me praise the Lord publicly here for everything that God has done for me." God is able to deal with our pride. We need to be careful. We need to take heed from these warnings here, because God has his takedowns, and he can bring us down to the mat if he so chooses. And we need to learn that we need to turn to God in those moments, acknowledge what God is trying to teach to us, and then we need to praise God for who he is. Let's bow our heads as we pray this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these lessons that we've learned here from Nebuchadnezzar. Lord, we recognize that we have the temptation that Nebuchadnezzar had to think that our prosperity that we experience in our own life is a result of our own doing, when it's actually from the hand of God. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to acknowledge you in every area of our life so that we do not have to experience your discipline. Oh Lord, as we experience those times, we pray that our eyes would be lifted up to heaven. We would turn to you and recognize all that we owe to you, and help us to learn these lessons about who you are tonight. We see that you use this king to teach us your wonderful character. We pray that we would grasp onto these lessons. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close.